If it be your will that I speak no more, and my voice be still as it were before, I shall speak no more, I shall abide until I am spoken for, if it be your will. What incredible words to write. Leonard Cohen said that those words were essentially a prayer. But to have that level of acceptance for our place in the world, if it be your will that I speak no more. It's a remarkable thing. Today I'm going to be speaking about something called radical acceptance. And I feel like I should preface what I'm about to say with a little caveat, as in I feel so unqualified, I suppose, to stand up here and talk about radical acceptance, because there is nobody in this church who needs to use radical acceptance more than me. Absolutely not. And the more I try to come up with a talk to explain radical acceptance, the more I needed to practice radical acceptance on myself. So it was this kind of strange thing of the creature eating itself, the Ouroboros eating its own tail. But I will do my best to articulate some of the important points about radical acceptance. And I'll start with a quote that has meant a lot. It's not me, is it? No, it's not. Sorry, Mum, I can't. Not right now. Anyway, it's not me. I'll start with a quote that's meant a lot to me over the last 20 years. You're going to have to sing again, Gráinne. Yeah. Eve was here at our rehearsal during the week, and she was amazing. She just delighted in the song. So, I start with a quote that means a lot to me, and it has for the last 20 years or so. It's a quotation from the so-called Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the basic text. And it's a quote on acceptance that will be very familiar to anyone who's taken part in a 12-step program. But it goes like this. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and in my attitudes. What I particularly love about that saying is it starts by saying, when I am disturbed, it's because I find some person, place, or thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. What that saying does is it directs me to the source of my problem, me. You know, there's that phrase, if you're pointing the finger, there are three pointing back at you, that I like to remember. When I have a problem, I have a problem. I am the problem, and I can find no peace of mind until I find acceptance. So the topic of this address is radical acceptance. And radical acceptance is a term whose first use can be traced back to Marsha Linehan in the 1990s. Marsha Linehan is a psychologist, author, and the developer of something called dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT. It's something that was new to me. I hadn't heard of it before, and maybe some of you have, but it is a branch of the more commonly known cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. But DBT has achieved remarkable results in the treatment of psychiatric patients at the most extreme end of the spectrum, those with severe self-harming and life-threatening behaviors, perhaps those who were considered hopeless causes. But Marsha Linehan takes pride in helping the most vulnerable of people and has dedicated herself to the most difficult and intransigent psychiatric cases. The main philosophy of dialectical behavior therapy is to create a life worth living. This philosophy is characterized by balancing the need to become aware of and accept things in life that you can't change, while simultaneously working on the things which you can to improve your emotional well-being and overall quality of life. Another anchor of the AA program, the Serenity Prayer, which I love, in a way, this philosophy is like living the embodiment of the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. DBT places us in the very center of that prayer. The word dialectic means to examine, discuss, and reconcile opposing ideas. An example of such opposing ideas might be, I am doing the best that I can, but I also need to try harder. I am anxious, but I am okay. Marsha Linehan describes radical acceptance as follows. Radical acceptance rests on letting go of the illusion of control and a willingness to notice and accept things as they are right now, without judging. It is a complete and total openness to the facts of reality as they are, without throwing a tantrum and growing angry. Tara Brach, who some of you may have heard of, is a Buddhist teacher, a psychologist, and an author, and she is one of the foremost exponents of the theory of radical acceptance. She's written several books, hosted podcasts, and led guided meditations on the topic. She says the following: "For so many of us, feelings of deficiency are right around the corner. It doesn't take much. Just hearing of someone else's accomplishments, being criticized, getting into an argument, making a mistake at work, to make us feel that we are not okay. Or as a friend of hers put it, feeling that something is wrong with me is the invisible and toxic gas I am always breathing. When we experience our lives through this lens of personal insufficiency, we are imprisoned in what I call the trance of unworthiness." These are her words, not mine. "Trapped in this trance, we are unable to perceive the truth of who we really are." And Tara Brach shares a story as an example. A meditation student at a retreat I was teaching told me about an experience that brought home to her the tragedy of living in a trance. Marilyn had spent many hours sitting at the bedside of her dying mother, reading to her, meditating to her late at night, holding her hand, and telling her over and over that she loved her. Most of the time, Marilyn's mother remained unconscious, her breath labored and erratic. One morning before dawn, she suddenly opened her eyes and looked clearly and intently at her daughter. "You know," she whispered softly, "all my life I thought something was wrong with me." Shaking her head slightly as if to say, "What a waste." She closed her eyes and drifted back into a coma. Several hours later, she passed away. We don't have to wait until we're on our deathbed to realize what a waste of our precious lives it is to carry the belief that something is wrong with us, that because of our habits of feeling insufficient, because they're so strong, awakening from the trance involves not only inner resolve, but also an active training of the heart and mind. Through awareness practices, we can free ourselves from the suffering of trance by learning to recognize what is true in the present moment and by embracing whatever we see with an open heart. This cultivation of mindfulness and compassion is what Tara Brach calls radical acceptance. And she says, "Radical acceptance reverses our habit of living at war with experiences that are unfamiliar, frightening, or intense. It is the necessary antidote to years of neglecting ourselves, years of judging and treating ourselves harshly, years of rejecting this moment's experience. Radical acceptance is the willingness to experience ourselves and our life as it is. A moment of radical acceptance is a moment of genuine freedom. When we practice radical acceptance, we begin with the fears and wounds of our own life and discover that our heart of compassion widens endlessly. In holding ourselves with compassion, we become free to love this living world. This is the blessing of radical acceptance. As we free ourselves from the suffering of something is wrong with me, we trust and express the fullness of who we are." The first important point to make about the practice of radical acceptance is that by radically accepting a certain situation, that doesn't mean that we approve of the situation. We're just accepting the situation as it is right now. And this acceptance allows us to see more clearly what steps can be taken to change the situation. The American psychologist Carl Rogers explains in his book On Becoming a Person, "I find I am more effective when I can listen acceptantly to myself and can be myself. I feel that over the years I have learned to become more adequate in listening to myself so that I know, somewhat more adequately than I used to, what I am feeling in any given moment. One way of putting this is that I feel I have become more adequate in letting myself be what I am. It becomes easier for me to accept myself as a decidedly imperfect person who by no means functions at all times in the way in which I would like to function. This must seem to some like a very strange direction in which to move. It seems to me to have value because the curious paradox is that when I accept myself just as I am, then I change. The curious paradox is that when I accept myself as I am, then I change." If we are stuck in the denial or non-acceptance of the situation, then it makes changing that situation very difficult, because it's only with a true and honest evaluation that we can begin to move forward. The truth sets us free, and radical acceptance is shining the light of truth on a situation. Not judgment, just truth. Practicing radical acceptance can bring true freedom from a whole host of problems. You've probably heard the saying, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. The quotation has often been misattributed to the Buddha or the Dalai Lama, but the message is the important part. Pain is an inevitable part of life. Suffering can come from not accepting the pain. So what can we do in order to radically accept something? I mean, it's okay to say that we just need to accept it. We might know that on an intuitive level, but what practical steps can be taken in order to help us toward a path of radical acceptance on a deeper level? So Marsha Linehan offers some directions on how to take practical steps towards radical acceptance. And I need the practical. If it's not practical, it's not spiritual in my word. I need in my world. So here are some practical steps. The first, she says, is to observe. Just notice when you are fighting or resisting reality. You might be saying, it shouldn't be this way. You might find yourself saying, I should have done that, or I could have. The first step is just about noticing these thoughts. The second part is to look at the reality. Remind yourself that the unpleasant reality is just as it is, and it cannot be changed. This is what happened. Number three, the reason. Remind yourself that there are causes for this reality. This is how things happened. You can notice how reality took shape and came to be because reality has causes. It just didn't appear out of anywhere. Number four, practice. Practice accepting with your whole self, your mind, body, and spirit. Use accepting self-talk, relaxation techniques, mindfulness, and or imagery. Number five, list. List all of the behaviors that you would engage in if you did accept the facts, and then try to engage in those behaviors as if you have already accepted the facts. Number six, imagine. Imagine in your mind's eye believing what you do not want to accept, and rehearse what you would do if you accepted what seems unacceptable. Attend to the body sensations as you think what you need to accept. Sit with the feelings is another word for that, I suppose. Just imagining that you accept it and then sitting and listening to what happens in the body. And then allow. Allow disappointment, sadness, or grief to arise within you. Number nine, acknowledge. Acknowledge that life can be worth living even when there is pain. And lastly, pros and cons. Martha Linehan suggests doing a pros and cons list if you find yourself resisting practicing acceptance. Another way to practice radical acceptance when you're dealing with these emotions, thoughts, or a situation that you have a hard time accepting is to use what are known as coping statements. And these statements are meant to remind us that there are some things we can't change. By accepting reality as it is, we can free ourselves from emotional tension and judging thoughts. Some examples of these statements might be, the present moment is the only one I have control over. Fighting my current emotions and thoughts only gives them more fuel to thrive. This moment is precisely as it should be, even though I might not like it. I cannot change what has happened in the past. I accept this moment as it is. And lastly, although my emotions are uncomfortable, I will get through it. This too shall pass. But I would say one of the most important practices of radical acceptance is learning to treat ourselves with compassion. So often when bad things happen to us, we compound our suffering by blaming ourselves for what happened or by telling ourselves that we are bad. So we double down on ourselves and inflict even more pain. Tara Brach writes on forgiveness, "Forgiving ourselves is a process that continues through our whole life. We are so used to replaying the story of what is wrong with ourselves and others that living with a resentful, tight heart can become our most familiar way of being. Thousands of times we might find ourselves caught in stories of what we are doing wrong. Thousands of times we might drop under our blame to where the deeper pain lives. With each round of freeing ourselves through forgiveness, we strengthen our recognition of our basic goodness. With time, forgiving ourselves utterly transfigures our life. As well as forgiving ourselves, reflecting on our own goodness can be a powerful tool to help us counteract negative feelings of blame." Tara Brach writes, Reflecting on our own goodness is vital because it opens our hearts and invigorates our faith in our spiritual unfolding. If we're caught up in considering ourselves bad, we contract and hide. In contrast, if we trust our goodness, we open up to others. We feel inspired to help others. We move forward on our spiritual path with dedication and joy. There are several practices that are traditionally offered as ways to remember our goodness. We might begin by simply reflecting on certain qualities or behaviors that we appreciate in ourselves. For instance, when I recall instances of being kind to someone, I can taste the sweetness of being caring and generous. I might remember a time when I put aside my own agenda to stop and listen deeply to someone, or spontaneously gave a friend a book they might like. When I feel moved by the music of Mozart or awed by a starry night sky, I feel part of the goodness and beauty of life. When life strikes me as funny, I feel real and human and basically good. Sometimes, though, the idea of appreciating ourselves can feel awkward or self-serving. When this is the case, it can be more honest to acknowledge our basic desire to be happy, to recognize that, to recognize that I, like all human beings, long to be loved, yearn to feel my goodness. When I pay attention to the depth of these longings, I reconnect to a genuine feeling of warmth towards myself. Sometimes the easiest way to appreciate ourselves is by looking through the eyes of someone who loves us. A friend told me that when he sees himself through the eyes of his spiritual teacher, he remembers how deeply devoted he is to seeking the truth. One of Tara Brach's clients realizes that they are lovable when they remember how their grandfather used to delight in their boyish curiosity and inventiveness. And sometimes seeing ourselves through the eyes of a close friend can help us to remember our good qualities. Our friend might love our humor and warmth, our passion about saving the environment, our honest willingness to say what's really going on in our lives. And we don't have to limit our appreciators to the human world. I once saw a bumper sticker that said, "Lord, help me to see myself the way my dog sees me." We might ask ourselves, what makes our dog happy to see us? Even if the answer is just that he wants to get fed or walked, our animal's appreciation of our constancy reflects an aspect of us that is worthy. The practice of looking through the eyes of one who loves us can be a powerful and surprisingly direct way to remember our beauty and goodness. Through the simple practice of seeing our own goodness, we undo the deeply rooted habits of blame and self-hate that keep us feeling isolated and unworthy. And in closing, these words are from the Indian master Yogi Bapuji and quoted in Tara Brach's book. "My beloved child, break your heart no longer. Each time you judge yourself, you break your own heart. You stop feeding on the love which is the wellspring of your vitality. The time has come, your time, to live, to celebrate, and to see the goodness that you are. Let no one, no thing, no idea or ideal obstruct you. If one comes, even in the name of truth, forgive it for its unknowing. Do not fight. Let go and breathe into the goodness that you are." When we live in awareness, we live in love. Although we drift on the path and lose sight of our essential being, remembering what we love guides us back to a sacred presence. If we can only remember to pause and reflect on what we love, therein lies the peace and freedom of radical acceptance. Amen.